Om Shanti and good evening everyone. Welcome to the session. May I request you who are those sitting at the back, can you please come in front? So it will be more experiential and interactive with Sister Sharvana. Thank you. So today we have Sister Sharvana ji with us from Israel. We have great fortune and grateful for us for that. And Sister Sharvana is a national coordinator for Israel. She is in Baba's knowledge from last 42 years. She's been a teacher and student of Baba and Raj Yoga. She is originally from America, but she got Baba's knowledge in France. And she got training from Dadi Jankiji. And she been sent to America, Boston, to open a center. She served there almost 15 years. And after that, she been sent to Israel to open a Baba's service centers there. And she's serving there from last 26 years. And the speciality of Sister Sharvana ji, whenever I meet her, she is very soft and very gentle and so kind. And on that basis, she is going to take us on an experiential session on how to become or the creation of self-sovereign. So over to Sister Sharvana ji. It will be very experiential. We all will be participating in it. So we will enjoy a new creative way to create the self, Sharon. Om Shanti. Welcome, Sister Sharonaji.
Om Shanti, everyone. Thank you for moving forward, because this is a big hall and it's so interesting to try and do a workshop in such a big hall. If I had my way, I'd be down there at your level, but for the cameras and the sake of seeing me, I'm here so far away. So the correct title of today's workshop is The Creation of a Self-Sovereign. We are all self-sovereigns, right? This is Raja Yoga. Raja means king, the sovereigns. And whenever Baba talks about being a master of the world, I don't know if you relate to that, if that itself gives you some feeling of intoxication or enthusiasm. But being a master of the world is really just the result of mastering this kingdom of the self, as I'm sure you are already aware of. So the self-sovereign. What exactly is the self-sovereign? The self-sovereign is the ruler. She's in charge of all her organs, physical and subtle, mind, intellect, and sanskaras. They all perform according to her commands, and the commands are godlike. The self-sovereign has returned to that original state whereby it's just the highest codes of conduct being followed, highest principles, values, virtues, power. And the hallmark of the self-sovereign, I think you could say, is that she's not taking support from anything external. Her well-being, her very high stage, is not being sourced by any person, relationship, position, possession, outcome. The self-sovereign is independent from all of that because she is sourced, if you know that expression, her power comes from within. Her own good karma, based on understanding this gyan, and of course, what she's pulling from God as an inheritance, and through all the relationships. So she's full from within, which means another hallmark of the self-sovereign, she's not a taker. She's not a taker. She's not coming to life at all with any kind of need. Her needs are filled from within. So she's much like a mother in front of the child, knowing that when the child is negative or angry or whatever, it's either because the child is hungry or tired. She doesn't react. She's not influenced. So the self-sovereign is not influenced, maintains that stage with such stability. And on the contrary, the self-sovereign influences, always in the direction up, to uplift, to benefit, to bring others into well-being. A self-sovereign is self-generatingly well, in well-being from within. So she's that world mother that Baba talks about, the world benefactor. So I think we all more or less have this picture of what is the self-sovereign, what goes into the creation of the self-sovereign. We were that. We're coming back to it. It's a recreation, not anything new. What would be the three main aspects to keep our eye on to actually reach such a phenomenal stage? Because Baba is the prime self-sovereign, never influenced in the drama, just to exert an influence so beautifully with so much love and joy. And then Brahma Baba, he achieved it in the drama, in a body, in relationships, in responsibilities. So how? What are three main aspects we need to keep our eye on to come back to this amazing stage, quality of being? Take a few minutes and think about it. Three. What do you think? Okay, can I have four volunteers come on up to the front? There should be a mic somewhere there. And just share, and we just keep it going. As soon as you've shared, others can come up. I'm trying to run this workshop pretty tight because we're shorter than an hour and a half. So if you've got something you'd like to share, one mic goes here, another mic goes here, and you can just come up. Four people. Who's got an idea? There we go. And one mic over here. Anybody else? One, two, or all three of the ingredients. Come right on up. Hold on a minute, brother. Come on. There you go. We've got a second one. Third? Somebody else? Okay. While you're thinking about it, you can come on up. But in the meantime, brother, yeah? What would you say?
I would say a self-sovereign has to focus on the self, first of all. That's the kind of departure point or the starting point for me. And then, as you mentioned, Baba is the ultimate reference point. And then I think all of this takes place in the context of the drama. So I suppose those three points, which is, we've heard that before, but they were the first three things that came to my mind.
What about the drama?
The drama, everything happens in the context of the drama.
Okay, so to understand that everything happens.
Well, the soul is not living on an island or in a bubble. It acts out in the context of other souls and other situations and so forth.
Nice, thank you. Anybody else? Come on up. Yes, sister.
Quite similar in a way. So I would say the first thing to be in touch with your original goodness. And the second thing would be to have your focus is on Baba and that's what's sustaining you. And the third would be that your energy is only going outwards in a benevolent way.
Say that again. The last
your energy one. Is only going outwards in a benevolent way.
Ah, benevolent.
Not inwards. Benevolent. It's always nice. Like good wishes, pure feelings, benevolent, that kind of
so
thing.
So true. Good, yeah. Anyone else come up while we listen to our sister? Yeah.
Om Shanti. I guess it's similar too. I would say the first thing is introversion and going within, checking. Second thing would be understanding or discernment, the power of discernment. And I'm also thinking of controlling and ruling power, so having a ruler over the senses, a ruling over the intellect, mind, sanskaras, etc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Full stop, for example. Yeah. Don't wait till they finish. Please come up already. Anybody else? Yeah, don't wait till they finish because we are really short of time. So come if you'd like to share. Yeah.
Yes, for me is to understand I'm a soul and God is a supreme soul and to have this connection, to feel full content.
Nice, thank you. That's it? Any other things we've got to keep our eye on? This will be the last round, so come on up if you dare. Don't wait till he's finished. Come on up.
What came to mind was that he fully surrendered to one.
Uh-huh.
So surrender. His unbroken and unshaken faith.
Mm.
And as Baba mentioned in the Muli this morning, he had a full and deep relationship with one,
yeah.
Shiv Baba.
Yeah. When you say faith, faith in
Whatever direction he got, even if it was controversial, even if it went against the rule of society or anything, he still had faith, and that's why he could always say, yeah, I'm not saying it, it's Baba saying it.
So. Okay, so it's like an aspect of surrender, that full faith in Baba's directions. Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. So you might have one or two other ideas. Seems like we've opened up the window. But I would like to explore it a bit deeper, see if we come up with some other very practical things to keep our eye on in order to restore this very high quality of life. So let's see these three videos. We're going to look at three very short videos. And I think we'll watch each one twice. Your task is to watch them and choose which one you feel best represents the self-sovereign or the journey to becoming a self-sovereign, and also why. Okay? I'm going to watch three short videos. Your task is to figure out which one, in your opinion, best represents the self-sovereign and why. Okay? Okay, we have to start from the beginning again and get the sound. And also lights, if we can get the lights off. Can we get the lights off? I don't know if we've got some light person there. So that we can see very clearly what's going on. Stage light especially, yeah, that, I think that'll make it a bit better. And house lights maybe. Okay. Okay, stop. Let's watch that one again, just so we're sure we understand what we're seeing. We'll go back. First one. No, the one we just saw. The one we just saw once again. Oh, all the way to the end. We have to see the end there. Okay, good. Second video. We need the sound. Okay, I think that's enough of the second one. You get the idea. We watch it again from the beginning. Okay. Okay, thanks. That's enough there. And the last one.
Can I help, Rose?
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself? What about yourself? I'll do this one, so come do that. You try!
What about Rose?
No.
Okay, we need to see it right from the very beginning. I think a little bit, a few seconds might be cut off from the very beginning.
Can you help, Rose?
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself? What about yourself? I'll do this one, so come do that. You try! What about yourself?
Okay. Did you catch what she's saying? It's a little hard. Yeah, they're in a car. And what is she doing? The belt. She wants to manage the belt herself. Her father asks at the beginning, "Can I help you?" And she says, "Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself." Can we see that one more time? As much from the beginning as possible so we don't miss it. It might have been cut off when it was edited. I don't know. Can we watch it one more time?
Can you help, Rose?
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself?
Keep going, yeah.
What about yourself? I'll do this one, so come do that. You try! Without
yourself! Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So we stop here. And if we can get the lights back. Okay, so what did we see? And here I think it would be good if we had the roving mic. I don't know if somebody can move it around. But what did we see exactly? In the first video, we saw, where were we? Where were we in that first video? And if we can close the, no video on the screen, please. And the lights? Yeah, where were we in that first video? A bowling alley, that's right. And what did we see? A toddler. We saw a toddler, and what was he doing? What? He was bowling. This little guy was bowling. Okay. In the second video, what did we see? Two toddlers, that's right. And what were they doing? They were helping each other to get up on the bed. That's right. And in the third video, what did we see? The toddler in the car, the seatbelt, and the father wants to help, but she says, worry about yourself. Okay, can we get the house lights? And the light on the stage. I don't know if we have a light person. Okay, so you're thinking, which one best represents the self-sovereign or the journey to becoming a self-sovereign? Think about it for a few minutes. And don't forget to say why. Which one do you feel best represents the self-sovereign or the journey to being a self-sovereign, and why? Think about it. Can we get the lights? And when you're ready, see if you can turn to the people behind you, turn to the people with you, in groups of minimum 3, but maximum 4. Don't be over 4. Share your choice and why you've selected that one. House lights are coming. Yeah, feel free to move around. Just in case you want to prove your point, we're not finished, but we're going to see it again. Just a once through, in case you missed a detail that somebody else saw and is important for their choice. Let's watch it one last time. Okay, because this is the part I actually wanted. Okay, we can go on to the third one. We see what happens here, right?
Yeah, Rose.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself? What about yourself? I'll do this one, so come do that. You tried! What about yourself?
Okay, continuing your discussions, we take another 5 minutes. And now we can get the house lights again, if it's possible. Okay, who is very confident about their choice? Hands? Please come up and be ready to share your choice and why. Those who are confident, please come up. Can I see hands? Please come up. 1, 2, other hands? 3, yes, come. 4, come. Come, come. Yes, come. Come, take the mic. Anyone else confident? Come, come. Come. Those who are confident about their choice, come. I saw 2 hands go up here. Yes, no. Okay, I'm asking once again, who's confident about their choice? Come. Yes, that's good. Yes, thank you. Who's semi-confident about their choice? Sort of confident. Come, come, come. Yes, right here. Anyone else? Sort of confident about the choice? Yes, come. So we're going to listen to these brothers and sisters, and as soon as they're finished and they sit down, if you have something to share or add, come, sister. Sister, over here. Yeah, share the mic. If you have something you want to add or share, just come right up. This is instead of having chairs and a comfortable circle and a way to discuss it all together. Okay. Is it on? There's a switch. Yeah, there you go. We've got a switch here. Oh, it's on.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay, sorry. Well, I would say initially that there are three ways we looked at three different approaches of doing an activity. And I would say that it's just three different ways, neither right nor wrong. But I guess I chose number two.
That's what?
That was the one where both of them were helping one another.
Helping get on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Number two, helping. Do I need to elaborate or just?
Why? Why did you choose that?
Well, I think there was the little. I'm not sure whether it was a boy or a girl, but the little individual, one of them had figured out how to do it and got on the bed and then shared how that he or she, I think it was a he, got on the bed to the other person. And the second person was open to receiving that help.
Okay.
And it seemed to be very egoless. And there was just a spirit of sharing, and we're helping each other. It's neither me nor you, and we kind of like it was like a feeling of doing it together.
Okay.
But yeah, the person had sort of found out by putting your foot. There was a method. Put your foot here, and that's how I got onto bed. Now you do it.
Okay.
So there was a very sort of selfless.
So self-sovereign includes helping another, showing the way. Openness, okay. And we go to this side. This sister will share. And if you have an idea, come on up. Yes.
Yeah, so it's the same. I chose video number two because I think oftentimes we might think that being self-sovereign requires us to do it ourselves. But I think actually being self-sovereign is that we acknowledge that we can't do everything ourselves and we need to help each other, which is why we're here, to walk each other home. And I think also video number two was, you know, it was not laboring, it was not hard work, it mm-hmm. was also some fun in it. And Baba says that, you know, we shouldn't be laboring, it was to be fun, you know, that's the pure love.
So nice. So the self-sovereign journey is also something that should be fun, and we don't have to do it alone. We can help each other. Very nice. Yeah. We go to this side. Again, if you have something you want to add or disagree or share, so far it's number two. Yes.
Hello. I'm Mary Louise from Canada. In fact, I'm from the only part who's French, so... let's practice your French. No, it's a joke. But we decided, or we made the choice, and hopefully it's going to be number two, because we did choose number two too. Because they help each other. I think they need each other at the first time, at the beginning. But they learned how to do it by themselves. And the little one, the little boy, at the end, seems to know where to put his feet, and he climbed by himself.
Okay, great. Nobody else? Come on up. Don't wait till they finish. Yes, sister. Yeah. That's right. It's on. Anybody else have something you want to add? So far it's only number two. Do you all agree that it's number two?
Yeah, for us it was a difficult choice. That's why I was semi-confident. Because when we look at it, it's like a journey. Like, first of all, this number two, Baba, will help us, will show us, will guide us. And then we're not so sure, number one, we fall. But then when we see that, you know, I think about it like in drama, you know, like you have storm and things, but then you get gift from that. So for us, we thought that both three of them were ingredients at different stages in becoming self-sovereignty, but we pick number two.
Okay. But for you, also what you saw in number one was the boy fell. Did other people think that the boy fell? How many think he did not fall? Could somebody respond to that? Yeah, they didn't see a fall. What did you see? Can you bring the microphone over to someone? What did you see if he didn't fall? What did he do? Yeah. Can you stand up? Yeah.
Om Shanti. So the boy hid himself because he didn't know if he will won. He will win or not. So he just hid himself and waited for the results.
Okay, he didn't know if it was good or not. So he hid his head and just waited. That's what she saw. Anybody else see something there? Okay, yeah.
So in support of number one here, it was all about the part and the stage. And for me, from the start, he clearly embraced his part. And it was going to be a struggle. There was no assistance or asking for assistance. He went through the process of humility in that moment of wondering and self-doubt, perhaps. And that there was something about the stage that he was still in command, and the whole act was performed successfully.
Okay. How many think it was number one? Did you convince them? Oh dear. We have just two hands, three hands. Okay, anybody else want to defend number one or say something about number three? Anybody think it was number three? Yeah, let's hear from number three. Come on up. Don't wait till someone is first. Come on up if you thought it was number three and explain why. I can't believe how shy you all seem to be. Where's the mic? Is there a mic there? Yeah, there it is. Okay, good, thank you.
So, I saw the girl. It was a difficult task for her, but she didn't lose her determination. And she thought, with determination and with trying again and again, I can do this. So it is similar to our way also in this Gyan. Sometimes we have difficulty, but we shouldn't give up.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
So there's a vote for number three. How many now think it could be number three? Ooh, you got a few voters there. Anybody want to share any last insight or thought? Because all of these kind of explore what is the journey to recovering that very elevated stage. We've got one more coming up. Last round. Anybody else want to share? Come on up, because this will be the last round. Anybody else?
So I actually also took number two.
Number two.
And the reason why... No, sorry, number one.
Ah, number one.
Apologies, number one. And the reason why is apparently this kid got an instruction on what to do, and he just thought, well, I'm going to try it. I think he dropped the ball because it was too heavy. Normally you expect a bowling ball to go towards the... how do you call these things?
The pins, yeah.
Yeah, with a certain speed and velocity in order to do a strike, but it was none of that. Even his ball went left and right, and then still he got a strike. But he just stood up with the instruction that he got, and he tried it. And even if it didn't went a straight path, which is also our path, it's not a straight path, but still he hit a strike. So
he did. Did you think he fell?
I feel he dropped the ball because I think it was too heavy.
He dropped the ball, and then how did you interpret that next second?
How I interpret it is that he got an instruction to do something in a certain way, but
okay.
it wasn't done in that specific way.
Ah.
And because of that, he thought, oh, I might fail, but then he still succeeded.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So we have a few more insights about what might, yeah? Say it again. It's also just to learn to be yourself. So we've got a few more insights as to what it takes to be a self-sovereign, what goes into the making. I don't know if a hand is... No, okay. All right, just again, because of time, I'm going to share a few thoughts about what I feel are the main ingredients for this journey to become these beautiful masters of the world, emperors, rulers of an age of truth. This part of that journey called the self-sovereign. First of all, I think you have to really want it. First ingredient, you have to really want it. In other words, it needs to be a conscious and defined and remembered aim. When we get lost in the stories of the drama, it's so easy to lose sight of our aim, isn't it? But who would have imagined that this feeling we had, even most of us from when we were young, we didn't like to be takers. We wanted to be giving. We didn't understand why. But we liked to help. We didn't like to be helped, many of us. Who would have imagined that all of that was because that's the true way of being. Deity means true being. That's the true way of being. Not to be dependent. Not to be dependent. To be completely self-generatingly okay. In well-being all the time. So this aim to keep checking myself for reaction, because that's the first sign that I've lost my self-sovereignty. I've been distracted from the aim, which is not to be influenced, but connect to Baba, be with Baba, come into a state of awareness and drawing from Baba create a different feeling, a different attitude, and then think, and then speak, or do. So we have to want this. How many of you want to be powerful self-sovereigns walking this planet again? How many? Yeah. Yeah. This is what's going to create heaven. It's a totally different way of living. Right now, everyone is dependent on something, and it's external. This is such a completely different model. And this is how we help God, like he was saying in the Murli this morning. He comes to change hell into heaven, and we are his helpers. Who would have imagined that this is the way I help him? I stop needing, expecting, wanting anything from anyone or any situation. I'm free from that. And because I'm full, I set a whole new standard. So that's the first one. To want it and remember this and keep it as an aim. The second one I would say is confidence. There are two arenas of confidence, possibly, for a self-sovereign. First of all, the confidence that this is actually why I took this birth. This is my role. To create a completely different standard of interaction, state of being, and literally end up God-like, just serving, just giving, just uplifting. Confidence that I was a self-sovereign, a ruler, a master of the golden age, and I am that throughout all time. It's just that it's gotten buried. I got distracted. I got needy. I got dependent. But all of these things are extras. So it is me who has this part, and I can do it. It's why God has come, to bring me back to that state of such fullness that my attitude and my behavior is so completely different. And the second arena of confidence is, it's like confidence in my decisions, confidence in my understanding, confidence in my choices. Because here, as a first step, it's the intellect which is going to be getting cleaner and clearer as I get more and more honest about a kind of thought which belongs to neediness versus a kind of thought which is without any neediness and wants only to give, to serve. So as I get more honest and the intellect gets cleaner, I can start becoming more confident about the way I'm seeing things. But still, as a first step, in my experience, it's about checking it out. Checking it out with someone senior, someone you trust to hold to the straight and true path and can guide you. Because ultimately, after getting myself either adjusted or aligned or corrected, and being open to that, humble to that, the intellect will start working for me. Conscience will come back and be a good guide for me. Yes, this is the right way to be thinking. Yes, this is the right way to handle this situation. This is the right way to face the challenge in this relationship. Because ultimately, the self-sovereign is making good choices, right choices. So confidence, I think, is a second very important ingredient to the journey, but reached from the right avenues, not false confidence, not anything based on something external. And the third one is the most interesting, I feel, when I was churning this. And that is, quite possibly, could the third ingredient be just doing my best, even though that might look like one thing 5 years down the road and a completely different thing 10 years down the road, but just doing my best and then don't touch it. Step back. Don't touch it. Get out of the way, I should say. Get out of the way. What that means is I'm doing my best. I make my decision or I come into an interaction accordingly to my best. Don't lose the power that comes to us by connecting to God and doing our best by doubting, was this right, was this wrong? Worrying, was this wrong, was this right? Second guessing your moves, going back over and over again. You know where all this leads to, overthinking, right? All of this takes away the power that's needed to be a ruler, the king over the kingdom of the self. Because a self-sovereign, the preparatory phase before being a master of the world, a ruler of the age of truth, the self-sovereign cannot be in a partnership just with God. The self-sovereign has to be in a partnership also with the drama. Some of you kind of indicated this. Partnership with the drama. This is part of this third ingredient. Do my best and then let it go. What does it mean to be in a partnership with the drama? It supports this ability to keep moving forward. No doubts, no worries. There are no mistakes, right? In a repeating drama every 5,000 years, identically repeating drama, there are no mistakes. There's just learning, opportunity to learn. And a self-sovereign doesn't lose any time. She focuses on the lessons, keeps moving forward. It's like what Baba was saying this morning in the Murli. The happiness of the self-sovereign, who would imagine? It's so different from the happiness of the world. Our happiness is based on the future world. The self-sovereign's eye is on the future, not the past. And on the present only in terms of learning, experimenting, practicing, growing, the self-sovereign. There's one more thing I could say about confidence. It's a very interesting thing, this journey towards confidence. Confidence about my understanding of a thing and my way of responding to a thing. Because, you know, up to a certain point, seniors will tell us, they will guide us. But after a certain point, they will not. Unless I ask, this is a nice little secret to know about. You have to ask, otherwise they stop. Because they want you to be a self-sovereign. To pick up the signals from drama, pick up the signals from Baba. But in a third step, they say yes. They say yes. Have you noticed this? They'll say yes to everything. It doesn't necessarily mean that your idea or your thought or your way is right. What it means in the third phase is that they trust that now you're ready to figure it out yourself, to learn through your own steps. Right? Did you get that journey? They won't give guidance unless you ask in a second level. In the second level, they won't say anything. And in a third level, they'll just be saying yes all the time and leave it to you and your journey. So, this is why my choice out of these three, although I understand where all of you were coming from, but my choice was the first one, bowling. The bowling boy. Why? Because first of all, did you see the acceptance of his part, of his role in that bowling alley? Was he afraid? Was he afraid? Was he afraid? No, he was not afraid. Was he hesitating? No, he wasn't hesitating. He had a lot of enthusiasm, a certain kind of confidence, even though that ball was almost bigger than him. Too heavy even for him. But he went right at it. This is what I mean by confidence. He picked it up, and then he bowled, okay? Some people say he dropped the ball. And even fell. But what I saw was he bowled as best he could, given that he was so small and the ball was so big. Our task can seem so big and me so small. But he didn't see that. He played. To me, he did not fall. What he did was, having done his best, he didn't want to look anymore. He didn't want to see. He stepped back. He let it go. The detached observer, like Baba was saying, it is all a play. It is all a game. He didn't interfere. He just kind of hid his face away. And at one point, if you noticed, before the end, he stopped hiding his face and he turned and looked to see what was going on. That's when he saw that he actually won. He did a full strike. Imagine. Was he sad? Was he angry? No, he was. He was happy, excited. He went running back to his mother. We don't see that so much, but he did a high five with his mother. His mother saying, well done. Imagine if that mother is really just symbolic of my own higher self, congratulating me, saying to me, well done. For each time I'm able to move as a self-sovereign. Drawing only from Baba, not being influenced or affected, and on the contrary, influencing and affecting. You're very quiet. I want to see the time. Okay, we're almost finished. I will quickly add why I don't choose the other two. Even though what you said is very interesting, but I feel the other two bring up actually two things that we self-sovereigns need to be very careful about. And both of them have to do with helping. Helping. Because a self-sovereign, as someone was saying, doesn't mean we don't help. And in the video with the toddlers, the two on the bed, It's not that we don't help each other, and it's not that we don't receive help. But in terms of helping another, you saw that pillow on the bed. Let's imagine that it symbolizes the goal, the aim. That high stage where even vibrationally I'm serving. Were they really helping each other? Because in order to help, that one had to get off that high stage. And when he helped by coming down to the level of the other one was uplifted, but the first one was down. And the way the second one helped was also to come down to his level. You understand where I'm going here with this? Self-sovereigns have to be very careful how they help. Because the way the world helps, often as not, can make us dependent on them. Often as not, we want to help in the ways we used to. We sympathize, we empathize, we lose our stage. Come down to their stage. We think that it's a nice thing to do, it's a respectful thing to do. But really, as we head so close to the end of the cycle, isn't there something else we need to be doing? Imagine if we could maintain our peace, maintain our even joy, I would say, and bring that vibration in. It's very costly to the part we've been given to come down to the level that those who need help are at this point in time. Do you see what I'm saying? This means yes, this means no. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, of course, there can be help. We can empathize, we can sympathize, but not losing that stage inside. I was very touched once when I heard Sudesh Didi talk to somebody who had just lost her mother. It was a BK. And Sudesh Didi sympathized, obviously empathized in those first few lines. You know, my condolences, I'm sure it must be a big challenge for you, you were very close to her. And then Sudesh Didi said, but as a knowledgeable soul, I'm sure you're also remembering the eternity of your relationship and the beauty of her virtues and how they live inside you. So like that, maintaining that stage, never losing it. So, we have to, I feel, as self-sovereigns, playing this particular part in helping God create a completely different world model, we have to be careful about the kind of help we're giving, and also accepting help. This little girl refused help. She just refused it. So being careful about this issue of receiving help. It's okay to receive help. It's okay. But just check, as a self-sovereign, check that there are no strings attached. Like your mother and father, we're allowed to take money from our mother and father, family. But if there are strings attached, you are allowed to say no. Strings attached means they're giving you this money because they want you to come to dinner every night, or do things their way, or eat this food or that food, strings attached. Or I should say, the safest way to take help from others, it's an experience I had many, many years ago. I was ill, so ill that I couldn't even lift a cup and drink. The sister who was helping me, she had to hold the glass, she had to hold the straw, and I fell ill in her home, and I wasn't able to move for several weeks. So she wasn't like volunteering to help me, but she lived very far from the center, and so she was the candidate. And at the beginning, I felt so awkward and uncomfortable accepting that help, which I think is the story for many of us, past self-sovereigns, currently awakening that stage. Very uncomfortable. Until one day I realized that she was not doing it for me. She was doing it for Baba. And that made everything all right. I understood that it was Baba helping me through her. So like that, this little girl in the car, she just rejected and refused any kind of help at all, and she was also very rude about it. She was very clear. Worry about yourself, she was saying. I hope we never say that. But, yeah. So we have a few more minutes. Anybody like to say anything? Any other thoughts or questions? Come right on up. Yes, yes. If you're raising your hand, I don't see well, so come right on up. The mics are here. Yeah. Anybody else? You can also come. The mic is there, I believe.
It's a question. Do you think that... because you talk about our conscience, then I think it was, I don't remember, I think it was Mohini Didi that said our conscience is really our spiritual heart. So do you think that with my pure conscience, my golden aid conscience, I can trust that this will lead me to a accommodated stage?
When you say, this will lead me, what will lead you?
My conscience, but the purest, like my golden age conscience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there we're talking about conscience. The whole of the study is to elevate my consciousness, because an elevated consciousness guides the conscience, it awakens it, it feeds it. And then I'm back to not wanting to go there, not wanting to do it that way, because it just doesn't feel right. In which case, it's no longer effort, but we're just paying attention to what my inner voice is telling me. Yeah? Anyone else? Anything else? Yes. Oh, sorry, great. Is the mic on?
Thank you. It was actually around where you, reaching that platform of where you've mentioned cleaning the intellect and clearing the intellect to that, with self-honesty, and getting to that platform of, like, with the senior, they're going to let you jump. It's not about right or wrong. They're just, you're ready. So in that sense, does the judgment of right or wrong or vice or virtues, in fact, in a full personality, with playing that part, and the judgment comes out of it, would you say that could be self-sovereign?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I grasp the question.
Sorry,
can you hold the mic a bit closer?
Yeah. So I suppose my point is, could you still be self-sovereign in vice?
Can you still be a self-sovereign in vice? Is that it? No, I don't think so. Not the way Baba uses these terms, because the sovereign, the king, is a golden-aged. It's a preparation for a golden-aged rulership. And the golden-aged rulership is guided or framed. Its point of reference is elevated. Elevated consciousness. So I think that we can't call ourselves self-sovereign if our choices ultimately produce sorrow for others, sorrow for myself, waste for others, waste for myself. I think that's kind of like a general guideline. Yeah. Does that help? Right. Right. Yeah. It's not so much right or wrong, but it's pure and impure. Pure and impure, because, you know, that's the bottom line on a self-sovereign. She's attaining increasing degrees of purity. You know, I want to finish with just one last point, unless anybody else has something they want to say. Yes, please come up. Let's not lose any time while people come up. Anyone else want to say? Because we want to finish 5 minutes early. Please, please come. Take the mic. Yeah, it's not on. Push that switch up. Okay.
Just want to ask a question. What you think going to a senior, perhaps helping us or supporting us, what would be the balance between being detached and having empathy? Because I think you can be so detached sometimes that you lack empathy. So what would you say would be the perfect self-sovereign balance in between helping someone with detachment and yet having true empathy for a situation or for the feelings and emotions? Not emotions, feelings.
Are you talking about the detachment of the person going to the senior or the detachment of the senior?
Yes, the detachment of the senior who's supposedly guiding. Because obviously
right.
That person also has
right.
Sanskars and...
Yeah. There you have to trust. You have to trust to be in that partnership with the drama, because we're not going to judge our seniors. If they don't give me the empathy, the sympathy, but I chose to go to that one, my experience is that if I feel I need more empathy and sympathy, then let me go to someone else. But it's very interesting that my choice did not give me what I expected or needed. This is partnership with the drama. Do you see what I'm saying? Where is the sister who asked this question? Yeah, does that help you? Say that again. Sometimes that senior may come to you, same. There's my drama. They came to me. And then it's up to me how I'm going to take it. If I understand your question correctly, it's still in my court. The ball is now in my court. Am I going to react or respond? react as a human with old sanskaras or respond according to the role I want to play, which is a self-sovereign, in training to be a master of an age of truth. Does that help? You know, it's very interesting. The formula is this. Make your needs known. Make your needs known. Sometimes self-sovereigns are hesitant and shy and reluctant to state, these are my needs. Maybe because we're not exactly sure what are my needs. But state them, make them known, and then you step back. Don't interfere. Learn. And recently this just happened to me, and I really want to finish up now, but it's too late. I'm not going to go into any more stories. I want to finish now because we have beautiful meditation with our brothers from Gyan Sarovar. So we take a minute just to figure out what we really want to pull from today's session, and then we can finish. Just some silence, please. No music is needed.